Tuesday, December 21st, 1976. Winter solstice, the shortest day of the year. 1976 was a leap year, and even though I had no idea what that meant at the time, clearly the year had dragged on one day too long. I could tell by my mother's mood. She was definitely ready for this year to be over. My father had spent most of the year away on business trips, leaving old mom to take care of three kids under the age of five all by herself. We just moved into a huge, drafty house, and it was very likely that we would be moving again soon. Destination unknown. It was more than she could bear. Perhaps if she had not had every single one of the neighborhood's children at our house that night, all impatiently awaiting the arrival of Santa Claus, as we plummeted from soaring sugar highs, perhaps she would have called 1976 quits on the 21st and started drinking for New Year's 10 days early. But back in 1976, my mom was a practical woman with a deep sense of obligation. I've read the historic weather conditions from that night and can report from the facts therein that the temperature dropped rapidly in the afternoon as the barometric pressure sank and the winds howled in from the Housatonic River at 20 miles an hour. It most likely smelled of snow outside where Santa was. Out there in the 28-degree darkness, trying in vain to find our little party in his honor. He was late, very late. We children, having devoured popcorn, candy canes, sugary cereals, cheese puffs, soda, and chocolate with indiscriminate fervor, were hanging on by a thread of faith that he would not fail us. He would come, and we would wait no matter how long it took. Every airplane passing above was Santa rushing in from up north, ready to burst in through the garage door, overflowing with as many apologies as presents. Every helicopter was Mr. Claus's personal chopper, eyeing our street for a landing. Every passing car was his limo. The phone rang, and we were sure it was him, again, rife with apologies, updating my mom on his whereabouts. But it was Barbara's mom, or Jimmy's aunt, or maybe it was my dad. When will you be home? My mom was pretty mad at Santa. We consoled her with obvious logic. It's not easy getting to Connecticut from the North Pole. But she was not letting the big man off the hook. By reindeer or limousine, she expected our guest of honor to be on time. It started to become clear to me that the Santa we waited on was not honorable. It was a mess. 1976 was the year of the dragon. Of great interest to me is that nothing especially interesting happened on December 21st of that year. A famous cricket player died, according to the reports. The UN declared 1979, still 2 and change years in the future, the year of the child. The facts now show that 1979 was in fact a bad year for many children. They could not have predicted this at the time, but we must all start out being hopeful, as we were hopeful that night in 1976, before Santa actually showed up. I may have been half on my way to sleep the moment the front door creaked open. Santa came in through the kitchen, defying my expectation that he would, for why would he not come in through the garage door? He turned the corner into the living room where we, the exhausted children of Fort Hill Road, had been staring at the blinking tree lights with dewy eyes for some time, and our sorrow suddenly flipped to tearful relief. Finally, we could eject our deepest toy desires like confessions to a fat red priest, then collapse into satisfied, hypoglycemic slumbers. But for me, the moment was tepid at best. This was not Santa. There was evidently no such thing as Santa, I concluded. Just sweaty men in red felt who did not care if they were late to my party. Just balmy, not fat enough louses who came in through the front door. The kids who had to go home got to sit on his lap first. They giggled coyly, dispensing long lists of wishes. It was unclear to me if they were pretending to believe at this point because they simply had to after all that buildup, or if they were just very, very unobservant. Perspiration seeped from under the interloper's frizzy white hair, dripped between his pitch-black brows, gathered onto a glistening 5 o'clock shadow before finally slipping beneath a bright white shock of beard that stood off his face some distance. My little brother was put on Santa's wobbly knee, always the good listener. Santa said nothing as Mike garbled off a long list of toys he expected to see under the tree in a few short days. Then it was my turn. But I was no fool. There were many things that I did not know about the world at 4 years old. Sadly, the smell of whiskey was not one of them. I did not ask Santa for anything. I climbed up on his knees and pulled his puffy polyester belly away from his damp chest to confirm what I suspected. Santa was dead. The red and white whiskey man was my father.